sure that when we're deploying something, it's going to work and not just the code that you have done, like not every single component, but the actual flow that the users are going to feel at the end of the day. My name is Carlos Gonzalez. I'm the CTO at Gesser. We do prediction markets and user interface for Augur. So if you want to check it out, that's us. So what are we going to use today? So I made a simple app where you can buy a ticket for the fake DevCon. It's easy. You just click the button and you get it. You don't have to wait or do anything like that. So it's just a simple JavaScript. There it is. You just have to type an email. Actually, buy, and you know, MetaMask will pop up. So simple thing, simple stuff. If you want to check the code at any point, or at your home, or whatever, it's quite easy code. I'm just going to explain it a little bit. Anyway, you have it here. You have the different branches for every different demo that we're going to talk today. So you can check it out there. So probably most of you are developers or are working on a product, and many startups, when the Friday comes, are like this. Like, should I deploy? Should I not? This weekend is going to be tough if I deploy. I don't know if this is going to work or not. Should I deploy? Should I wait on Monday? And it's stressful. It's not just about the product itself. It's also about that you don't really know if it's going to work. You feel the pain. Like, you don't want to feel that. So this is where the tests come. And to do that, you have CIs and CDs, continuous integration and deployment. Because when the user starts to touch the computer, something explodes, and you don't want that. So CIs, what they do basically is just they get the test that you have programmed. They will run the test, and then the continuous deployment will deploy it somewhere. That's easy. We are not going to talk today exactly about that, but the previous part about the testing for that. So just simple stuff, just to get the things on the ground. Unit testing, when you want to test every single one of those components that you have done, with React would be a normal component, but if you are working more like in the low level, Solidity or whatever, that would be one component, one of those contracts. Integration is when you have different of those components of different parts of the code and you want to test them together. You just set parameters between each one of them and compare them, and at the end, test that they work together. That's the important thing. And then you have end-to-end testing. It's not that the tests work with each other, because you have done that already. You made integration testing. It's more about the flow for the user. It's more about the whole process. Is more like the behavior of the user. For example, if they want to buy a ticket, as we want to do, you have to test the whole process from the beginning to the end, from the end to the end. And that's normally where things get a little bit messy. So properties that we can find, and even more in decentralized applications, and we'll talk about them a little more later, is that they take some time, because It's not just the component, the code that you have to test. You have to test the network, the connection between the components. If it's with blocks, the thing that you want to test, you might have to make a transaction. Normally, you would do that in local, in Ganache or whatever. But if you want to test it more like in a testnet, for example, in RinkyB, it will take some time. I don't recommend that. I would recommend to do it on localhost, but whatever. You cannot pinpoint the root cause of failure, because when you do end-to-end, you are testing like functions specifically, but when you test unit testing, you test the functions and specific features of the code, but when you do end-to-end testing, you don't test specifically the code, you test the behavior of the user in your app. So you don't really know where the failure can come. For example, you can have problems in the database, even though that you're testing the HTML. You can have problems in the server, you can have problems, of course, in HTML, CSS. There are many things that can fail and probably will. So you cannot know exactly where's the failure, even though you can get close. And you as the developer probably know more or less where the thing goes, but you don't really know exactly where that thing is. One of the good things, as we said, is that it's closer to the user behavior. So when you test something like a function or a specific part of the code, you don't really test what the user is going to do. And that's a problem because you're not close to them. You're not really using the app as they are going to use it. And that's one of the, and that's for me the key point of end-to-end testing. One of the other things is that they are fake. And normally it sounds like they shouldn't. Like, I've seen many people talking about them. Well, they're a bit fake. And if you go to the talks they do about Puppeteer, and we'll talk about that later, in the Google developer talks, they also say that. Like, it's a bit flaky. Many things can fail, they will, it's slow. There are some tricks, and we'll talk about them, but yeah, sometimes if you don't program, if you don't do the programming like quite specific to the things that you want, they can fail. So, yeah, they have some bad parts, but they have many good things. As a recommendation, probably most of you know about this, but there's a rule, 70-20-10, and it's basically that you probably should do 70% of unit testing, 20% of integration testing, and then 10% for end-to-end. That should be like, this rule applies as well to decentralized applications. There is no, well, probably even more since you are, well, depends on your product, but if you are doing the protocol, you need a lot of unit testing. And also if you have a normal application, but, so I recommend following this rule. So, this is the beginning, Puppeteer. This is, Puppeteer is an old library that grabs the API of Chrome and allows you to control Chrome in a programmatically way. And it's super cool. It's developed by the Google Chrome team, well, Chromium actually. And like recently, like 2 months, 3 months ago or something like that, they released a beta for controlling also Firefox. We're not going to get into Firefox today because since we want to control the decentralized applications, we need specific extensions like MetaMask, and therefore it will be a little bit more complicated. You can definitely export the plugin in Firefox as well and control it, but you know what we're going to do. So first we have the app that we're going to control today. And this is the second demo. It's going to be super simple at the beginning. We just declare Puppeteer, we want to get it, launch a browser, open a new page, then just go to the page that we served with, well, it's written in Vue, but it doesn't matter. Then we wait for the happy message, which is a message that we wrote in the HTML. We get the context, text, and we console it. Super simple. I'm going to be doing the demos while I'm talking. I think it's the best way to do that. Yeah, as I said, it's quite easy. We can see here, this is the title that we were looking for, and the code was super simple. And actually saw in all the code that is needed in this slide, right? You don't need anything else. And as you saw, I wrote it directly with Node, no NPM or anything like that, just to say, so that it's quite simple code, it's not super complicated to start with at least. Well, it's not complicated at all. So yeah. Just to give you a little bit more of syntax in the beginning, so we are in the same position. $evil allows you to get a a query selector of HTML, so you just get an ID of HTML tag, or you can also get a name or whatever you need, and then you can do something with that. If you have an array of those IDs, you have to do the same but with tuples, and you will get an array of them, and you can modify them or do whatever you need. Because inside of this function, and you will see later, you have to pass the query selector you want, and then a function, which will do the thing that you want. As I said before, they are sometimes a bit flaky. So, for example, the browsers are not that fast as normal code. They need some time to make the request and process the data. So there are some things that you have to do in order to wait for those things to happen. The first of all would be wait for, and then the milliseconds that you want. I don't recommend using this one because the browsers sometimes are slower than others, and some requests take some time, some others take less time. Also depends on the resources that you have on your computer, so I don't recommend using a fixed time at all. Then you have wait for selector. This is the one I recommend because it will wait some time that you can define by jest or whatever to wait for a specific ID of it. You know, this is the one that it recommended to use. And you can also wait for a request, like, and once the request to pay is done, you can continue the testing or the scrapping or whatever you're doing with Puppeteer. Because Puppeteer is not testing. Puppeteer, as I said before, is a null library that allows you to open a browser and control it with the APIs, with JavaScript. So if you want to test, then you have to come back to the basics. If you don't know, this is jest. It's the normal library that you use to test with JavaScript, but you can use Mocha or Cucumber for Python, but there are some others. You can use any testing library or unit testing library that you want. It will work nicely with Puppeteer, and they are constantly trying to make those things work, so you won't find any problem there. So here's another demo. What we are going to do here is to just integrate what we did before with jest. What we did before was just getting the missions that was in the title and matching with, and what we will match it with, one more we know is the one that we expect. Okay. As I said before, all the demos, well, probably. All the demos are on the GitHub repo, and you just have to go to the branch that you need. In this case, it's the demo 3. So as you can see here, we are not, well, we pass the test, we get the message, it's fine. But as you saw here, we are not showing the browser, we are not opening anything. That's what we're going to fix in the next demo. But as you saw, you don't really need the whole browser for this specifically. Once we get into the centralized applications, you will need to open the whole browser, and that has some complications. We'll get into them later. So some stuff that you need to know, that you might want to know about Puppeteer. I'm going to be very fast about this, but you can ask me later. You can control the page speed, so unless this page loads in less than 2 seconds, don't commit this. Or you can do testing about the page speed, which is super awesome. Or check the unused assets that you have in your page. For example, you are not using more than 50% of your CSS, you could test that. One package, you can type in forms, scrap text, get access to the console log, throw the network so you can see if your page works in places where the internet is not really good. you can record some videos or whatever you need, generate screenshots, drag and drop, and test that the drag and drop works, which you cannot do otherwise. This configuration says page weight, so if you're loading too much data or too much CSS or JavaScript or whatever, you can test that as well. Don't load images. You can intercept the request and change the data for all other inputs, so you can have always the same data, always the same page, and test some stuff there. This is quite important because, well, so when some pages, when you want some pages to be like quite always the same and not move them because the client or whatever used them, you can make an image of the page, have a snapshot of the one that you want, which was the previous that you had, and compare the compare them pixel by pixel, and you can ensure there that the CSS is the same, that the page is the same. That's quite cool and some stream, but it works. You can harvest some info about the SEO service workers. You can test them. That's more complicated, but you can do that offline. JavaScript, heap memory usage, mobile rendering, and use CSS. That's some of the cool stuff that you can do, but there are more. And to show you how simple it is to do that, you just have to start CSS coverage. It will start checking all the data of CSS, and when you stop, it will give you here that it will return you an object with all the data that it gives you about the CSS coverage. For example, how much are you using and how much are you not using, and you can do whatever you need with that. Same with JavaScript. Another cool thing that you can do is, if you are always doing those testings and you are doing a lot of them, you can intercept the request analytics and stop getting the analytics and stop messing with your analytics, which at the end of the day is what you need to see if it's working or not. And you probably don't want to mess with it. So you can stop the request, and if it's not analytics, you can continue with the request. More stuff. But I'm going to be fast on this. If you want to test mobile, easy. Service workers and browser context. This is very important if you want to get into this, but it won't work exactly with decentralized applications because you won't be able to access the plugins. But if you're not going to use MetaMask, for example, I really recommend using the browser context. It's super fast. It's awesome. So this is another demo. I'm going to be super fast with this one. It's just what we saw before. It has some inputs, it just types, and you will see. Well, the first one I think you want. There. Okay, you don't see it because it's closed. Because I'm saying two puppeteers to be headless, so you don't see it, but I'm going to change that in a moment. So here, have you commented? It's just this line. When you say headless false, it will open the whole browser for you. This takes a little bit more time. So yeah, it just types, and that's it. For this test. Now we'll go into more. So the thing what we did that wasn't before is just by specifically allowing it to type some email in the email box. But the rest is easy. It's the same as we did before. These are the type of inputs that you have. Type, keyboard press, click, tap, type. I recommend using all the way selector for before doing that. So you are sure that the thing that you want to type into is there. There's one more thing. MetaMask, as we said before, something that we all need for this, right? And for that I recommend a lot, there are more ways, but I recommend them. It's just using the Scintillant library for that. I will show it. It's important thing here. To install is super simple. But it can render while we are doing stuff. So it's just basically a library that gets the MetaMask code and injects it into a specific path that Puppeteer is waiting for to get the plugins, the add-ons. So to use it, and we will see an example now, it's super simple. You just npm install Puppeteer, then you import the library, you open a new browser with it. Well, you have to also import Puppeteer. And then you have to open MetaMask or kind of like install MetaMask, just like this. And you put the seed that you want, or create a new one, doesn't matter. You can then switch to the network that you want, for example, Rinkeby. Then you have the typical things like MetaMask approve, and it will approve the transaction. But you have the confirmed transaction, which is the same for React, whatever you need. Then. And you don't have it in the API, you can always, and you will see it now, you can always go to the page of Puppeteer that MetaMask opens, like the page, and control it like if it was a normal page in a browser. So even if it's not in the API, you still can use it. It just will take a little more of time. So we are in the MetaMask demo. Hopefully this will work. It opens like Chromium. The whole thing.
Probably is a network, like the internet is slow.
Live demos, yeah.
Here as well. It works. It's just it needs internet to verify all the stuff. But
what I think I can do is something else.
If it's just the time.
Do you have it?
To the network that you want, open a new page, you wait for it to load. Once it's done, well, that's the before all, you start doing whatever you need. So the first thing that you have to do is approve MetaMask, typical thing. What is quite important, but here, for example, once you click the button to, and I saw before at the beginning of the talk, once you click the button, it will pop up a MetaMask transaction thing, and you will have to confirm the transaction, and that's what it does. Instead of wait for, what you do is wait for an identification, an ID to come up, but this is quite simple, probably. And probably this is what is failing right now, I'm not sure. Well, it's not failing, it just needs more time. And then a ticket bought successfully will appear once you confirm the transaction. That's it. Once you turn off and on, that always helps. And that will be the last try. Well, anyone?
Just a quick question. Is that tool pretty actively maintained? Like if there's a breaking change in MetaMask?
Well, it's open source, so you can always help.
Sure.
I'm always checking the library in case there is something. It's not maintained by me, probably by the central end team. But it more or less works, yeah.
Cool.
I mean, and whenever there's a failure, they normally try to answer.
Just hang on.
Regularly.
Why not just disable it?
Because I don't want to launch Diagonash. But yeah, you can definitely do that. And I recommend you to do that.
I was going to say, I mean, I think it might.
Oh,
yeah. Then you can download it.
That's but, you have to do better. If you want to do that, is.
Yeah, you just change it there.
Yeah. In the MetaMask settings, when you open it, you just change it there.
Do you try other tools for Chrome browser? Also,
if you can test on Firefox, you can.
Yes. Because this tool is for Chrome, right?
Yeah, but what you have to do then is you have to do the same that the library does for you in Chrome, you have to do it in Firefox. And that's basically putting the MetaMask extension for Firefox in a specific directory that Puppeteer Firefox is waiting for it, is where he's looking for the code. Like, when you open the browser, there is a directory where the plugins or add-ons are, and what you have to do is to get the code put in there, and then tell it to load it and where it is. But then, yeah. So let's try it once more, last one. And one more thing, if you want to use this on CI, like SQL CI or whatever, so yeah, it did the whole thing. And the test passed. It checked the transaction bot and everything. So yeah, it was only the internet. I was saying, if you are testing it on, if you want to use it on a SQL CI, for example, what you have to do is to install the X virtual frame memory The good thing is there are some Docker containers that that have all the things that you need already, so you just tell SQLCI to use those. But since you need the whole Chrome to open, you need the X, which is basically the graphic environment. What you will do is a virtual X to open, not really. So that's it. Any more questions?
Yeah, what about Cypress?
Yeah, Cypress, I mean, Cypress is fine. For me, we had some problems in the beginning because it loads too many things. And
it loads many things?
It opens too many things, like it does screenshots, videos, all that stuff. You're talking about Cypress, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you feel about writing await like on every single line?
Well, that's more like JavaScript stuff, and you can always do promise all. You can always do the then.
So it's getting
there. Yeah, but that's more like JavaScript problem.
But did you manage to run Tapetier or something similar with Cypress?
I haven't actually tried, because I'm happy with Puppeteer, but what you have to do is to load the...
Yeah, it's not possible with Cypress. I mean, I tried,
okay. It doesn't allow you to inject?
Yeah, you cannot load custom extensions, but you can somehow make it work, but then it's not stable in there long term, so at the end, I think it doesn't work, but I was just curious, maybe you did
something. Yeah, I haven't actually tried. Because in the beginning we were like thinking about Cypress, but when I saw that Puppeteer had all the things that I needed, it was like easy. But if it doesn't allow you to open a specific directory to load the plugin, the MetaMask extension, I don't see how you can do it.
What about stability from your experience? Would you say the solution is stable? Does it have any cases where you have unknown errors, for example?
I haven't actually found any, but probably.
So you'd say it's a reliable solution in your CI might?
Yeah, well, I mean...
I'm just wondering, but...
Yeah, exactly. I think that it is, because even if the Puppeteer API is not good enough for you, for your needs, you can always change the page. I mean, you have two pages. The page where you're testing and the MetaMask page, which is not just the thing that pop-ups, you have also the page. You can always change the page from this one to the MetaMask one and do everything like fake clicking, and therefore you can do anything that you need.
Two trends in user auth are like using another mobile wallet through Wallet Connect to sign transactions, or using contract accounts and then doing some things within the app. So what would either, like, what would the implications be for end-to-end testing?
Well, it depends. I mean, you will need MetaMask.
Right. Yeah.
If you are using Wallet Connect, that will be complicated because you need to test in the phone. But probably you can. What you can do there, it's. I don't really recommend.
For Wallet Connect, you can probably open a new tab of this test WalletConnect.com, which is web communication.
Okay, I didn't know that. Cool. Well, then you can change the page and test there. If you don't have any of those things, and you have the app. If you have the app, the account inside of the app, then it's easy, you don't need anything else.
Do you know if you can also intercept the requests from the MetaMask extension?
You can get all the requests, not from one page, any.
Oh, so that's pretty cool. So for instance, you could try to intercept that request that was blocking right now and preventing you from doing the demo, mm-hmm. just mocking that response,
yeah,
and then hook it up to GitHub.
Yeah, sure.